Once, quite a while back, I was talking with an employee of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. He ended the conversation by informing me that, quote, if you have any questions, you can reach me telephonically. Telephonically? That's government speak for give me a call. And if the government can't talk straight, it writes even worse. Your average communique from the government is packed with legalese, obfuscations, and general abuse of the English language. It's so bad that the government chose to regulate itself with the Plain Writing Act of 2010. The act stipulates that executive branch documents should be written in plain, understandable language. Dr. Annetta Cheek is the founder and chair of the Center for Plain Language that pushed for the passage of the act. A former writer of regulations herself, Cheek took up the cause after chancing upon a single revelatory document.
At one point, I was introduced by a colleague to a reg that he was working on about offshore oil and gas leasing, and I knew absolutely nothing about the topic, but I was able to understand the regulation, which was almost at that time sort of against the law, that you could understand a federal regulation that you knew nothing about. And it was one of those aha moments. Since then, I've become sort of fanatic. You know, why can't all federal regulations be written this clearly?
Let's talk for a moment about what we are up against. I'm going to read you a regulation from the National Park Service. In its original form, it sounded like this. When the process of freeing a stuck vehicle that has been stuck results in ruts or holes, the operator will fill the rut or hole created by such activity before removing the vehicle from the immediate area.
Right.
The rewritten version sounds like this. If you make a hole while freeing a stuck vehicle, you must fill the hole before you drive away. That's better.
It certainly is, but it's very hard to get from that first version to the second version.
And where does this come from, this impenetrable bureaucratese? Is it cultural? Is there a legal underpinning to it?
Yes and yes. My background's in anthropology, and to me, it is part of the government culture. It sounds formal. It sounds official. And, of course, there is a legal aspect. Attorneys for the government are always very concerned about making sure that their regulation can stand up in court. And they really aren't concerned about the person who has to read the regulation and implement it.
In fulfillment of your grand vision for clarity in government language came the Plain Writing Act of 2010, which I guess is good news, but there's a bad news part of this. There was a piece in the Washington Post that estimated that there's only at this stage 10% compliance. Does that sound about right to you?
Maybe it's overly optimistic.
Yikes. I want to ask you about backlash. You know, when they rewrote the Lord's Prayer to make it more accessible to 20th century speakers, it ruffled some feathers because it just didn't sound ecclesiastical enough.
Right.
Is there a chance that there will be resistance to the kind of clarity and straightforwardness that you so prize?
Absolutely. Most of it will come from the writers. I don't think too much of it would come from the reader, even though maybe some people in the government think that they are deities. I don't think most of the public feels that. A little anecdote, back in the late Clinton administration, we were trying to get people in the White House to agree to a plain language style guide for executive orders. Executive orders tend to be particularly impenetrable. But then the attorney who reviewed these said, oh, we cannot write presidential executive orders in plain language because it's not magisterial.
I will assert that sometimes there is poetry in gobbledygook. I'm going to read perhaps the most famous paragraph in American governmental language. It goes like this. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bonds which have connected them with another, and to assume the powers of the earth, the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Now that's from the Declaration of Independence, Annetta.
Right.
Our producer, Chris Neary, rewrote that trying to channel you. And here's what he came up with. It's time to break free from England because it's our God-given right to do that. We're every bit as good as they are, but it's only fair we explain why we got to do this thing. It sounds pretty unmagisterial.
It's hard to evaluate writing from that long ago in today's context because that was more normal writing back then than, it would be now. On the other hand, I think if the government were writing that paragraph today, it would have a lot more words.
Do you think John Adams was standing over Thomas Jefferson's shoulder and saying, dude, it doesn't sound quite pompous enough. Throw in another equal station.
Possibly.
Annetta, thank you very much.
You're certainly welcome. I love talking about plain language. I'll do it anytime.
Annetta Cheek is the founder and chair of the Center for Plain Language, which is staging a Plain Language in Law conference in Washington, D.C., May 21st to 23rd at the National Press Club.